Hey, bitch! It's time for the book club.
Warning, spoilers ahead.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Campfire Gaming Podcast Book Club. My name is Rich and I will be the host of this month's episode. With me, as always, is Matt. How's it going, Matt?
It's good to be back, man. It's great. I love that we're doing the book clubs, but it's kind of that weird, like, still working into the not doing it every week. But I'm excited. I'm ready to talk about our game this month. It's going to be fun.
And our game this month is Psychonauts 2. This was a suggestion from Matt coming from all the way back last year. We decided to play the original Psychonauts right in time for the release of Psychonauts 2, which was August of last year.
Yep.
However, we unfortunately did not get to it, so now is the perfect time, almost 1 year later, we can finally get to Psychonauts 2.
And I'm glad we did.
I'm glad that we did too. So this one was a really, really long one in the making. And it's exciting to see the journey that this game has been on. But before we get into that, I'd like you to invite you over to our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. There you can find links to our socials at Camp Game Pod. That would be our Twitter. You have links to our Discord, which we highly recommend that you come and join so that you can participate in the conversation along with us, make a couple of book club suggestions of your own, and engage in the discourse that follows. You know, maybe dump on a few games or tell us what you're excited about or, you know, what have you. We got stuff about, you know, movies and TV, and we're always discussing something on the Discord.
For shizzle.
Right. So with that out of the way, let's dive into Psychonauts 2. Like I said, this was a long time coming for Double Fine. This game has been, I think, kind of in and out of development pretty much ever since Psychonauts 1 released back in, like, what was this, 2002?
I was literally going, oh, I should look that up. It was
2005. It was 2005.
Yep. 2005.
And from what I remember back all the way then, it was a pretty popular game and actually did really, really well in reviews.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, those sleeper hits or the, you know, cult hits, right? It didn't get the big fame that, you know, boosted it up and everybody's buying it. But, like, anybody that played it, you know, and we talked about it on the show before we ended up getting around to playing. It's like, this always heard it's a good game. We should do it. And
right.
Yeah, last year finally did.
Yeah, so we finally got around to getting to the original Psychonauts last year. And from what I remember of that, we loved it, actually. Like, everybody on the episode was really, really thrilled to play Psychonauts.
Yeah, I think the only issue most of us had, which was that it was a, what, I guess, 16-year-old game, right? And the quirks that come with a game that's old, right? You know, I look back at my notes, and it was usually, like, my complaints were just, like, you know, like the camera or something, you know, some of the animation. But again, it was, like, 16 years old, so it wasn't anything to knock the game for. We had a ton of fun. I know all of us did that reviewed that last year.
Yeah. And so Psychonauts 2 basically takes place essentially right after the first game. I believe there was a DLC or something like that for the original Psychonauts. We unfortunately didn't play the Rhombus of Ruin, but it takes place
VR game, if I remember.
The VR game.
Yes. Yeah, small game in between for the most part, this takes place right after that.
Yeah. So you're basically flying on a ship. You're with Truman Zanotto and why can't I remember their names already? So you got Raz is on, they're on the Psychonauts jet. Yeah, you're on the Psychonauts jet and you got, like, Raz on there. You got Sasha, you got
Mila
and
what's Oleander? I forgot his first name. Coach Oleander. Not first name. What is he? Coach Oleander. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're all up. And they even had Dr. Lobato, right?
Yep. Dr. Lobato captured. And we're looking to interrogate him because we want to figure out who stole Truman Zanotto's brain.
Yeah.
Or why he's basically comatose.
Which kind of pull back again to the VR game in between. That, I mean, to what you said there is the first game, it ends off, you hop in the ship to go to basically Psychonauts headquarters. And the Rhombus of Ruin takes place literally on that trip. is what I understand. But the good thing is, to me, I never felt like, they only make a few comments here or there, but I never felt like, oh no, I should have played that before this. So they definitely did a good job of like, well, you know, if you didn't play the VR game, then cool. It did, here's a great new game.
It definitely wasn't required reading. However, before we start diving in too deep of this into this, we are going to be getting into some heavy, heavy spoilers. So if you have not played Psychonauts 2 yet and you do not want the game spoiled for you, be sure to take a pause here, go play the game, come back, listen to what we have to say, and then you will get the information that you won't have spoiled.
We don't hold back on story, opinions, surprises, whatever.
Right. We will be talking about the game at length. So with that out of the way, let's go dive into it. So we're basically, you know, we're coming in story-wise, we're coming in right off the Rhombus of Ruin. We come to Psychonauts headquarters and we get to start meeting all the staff and interns. And you see Raz is getting like, you know, he's getting hazed a bit by the interns. They don't have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, he gets basically, I guess you could say, quote, promoted to an intern.
Technically, wouldn't he get demoted? Because if I remember correctly from the end of Psychonauts, is he was like promoted to an unofficial Psychonauts member. So that was kind of the joke when he gets there. And I forget the lady. She's like, what's her name? She's kind of the main lady. She's
Hollis.
The first. Yeah. Yeah. Hollis. And she's like, oh yeah, you're going to be an intern. He's like, you can tell he's super bummed. And you're like, oh, but yeah, no, it was, yeah, it started off there where he was not too happy, not like pissed off, but not happy about being an intern now. And then not quite fitting in with the other ones, as you find out.
Right. And so the whole plot of the game kind of kicks off with what we discover by going into, I mean, the game starts off with you going into Dr. Lobato's mind. And you're trying to basically convince him that he's become, you know, employee of the year. And they play a little kind of joke on that to try and extract basically who his boss was and who hired him to steal Zanotto's brain. Yeah, so you have to go figure that out. Unfortunately, you don't, but what this does end up revealing is that there is a suspicion of a mole within the Psychonauts organization.
Yep.
So,
which is the kind of, the real story, and there's kind of a couple crazy things that go on in this story, but yeah, the first is there that there's some sort of mole, and there's rumors of an evil psycho person. It's like, what would you call that? Somebody that's got power. A psychic. There you go. Words. I don't know how to use them.
A psychic
that the Psychonauts had defeated years earlier called Maligula, some real just evil badass person apparently. But yes, rumors of her revival. She had been dead for 20 years or something like that. So,
yeah. Yeah, she had been dead for a really long time. And you find out that, you know, it was some of the OG Psychonauts like Ford Kruller and a few others who basically stopped Maligula from, I guess, destroying everything.
Yeah.
And
the Psychic Six is, I think, what they called them. Yeah, which had like Kruller, who we met at Zanotto that we already mentioned, and then a few other new people that you meet along the way in this game. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's good. I think overall, from a story perspective, this game had a much different feel than the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
The art direction definitely felt the same. Like, it all looks relatively similar to the original.
Yeah,
just a
modern
Psycho
version. Yeah.
Yeah, modernized. It looks, of course, a lot nicer from its 2005 counterpart, but I think just the general feel of it was more where I got more of a vibe of like a Nightmare Before Christmas vibe from Psychonauts 1. I got less of that and more of like they were going for like a 60s like sort of spy thriller out of this story. Like, it wasn't so much going into like the creepiness and having the art style lean into the creepiness that the original Psychonauts did, but yeah, it's just kind of a different spin on it. I don't know what your thoughts were about that sort of change in direction.
I think that kind of, in the first game, Raz is just, he wants to be part of a Psychonaut. He breaks into the camp, Whispering Rock summer camp, for, you know, psychics and stuff, like little psychics or whatever, right? And so, like, I think there's a lot of that kind of scary weirdness, because that's the first time he's really, because if you remember, his family was not happy that he was psychic and he had to hide it from him and all that, right?
Right.
So to me, like, the first game, it felt, yeah, a little bit more like that Nightmare Before Christmas kind of feel, because a lot of this stuff is kind of new and scary. So to me, the jump to, especially considering the story of there's a mole and who is this Maligula and are they back, or is this just people that are hoping that evil psychic is, you know, living somewhere? Like, it, to me, it kind of felt like it leaned into the story, which was a little bit more of that kind of spy, you know, thriller type.
Yeah,
you know?
It felt like more thriller ish than, you know, like a creepy sort of pseudo horror.
But you do get into the, I mean, I wouldn't say horror, but I mean, it is, it's like the first game in a sense that you go to a lot of really weird places, mostly a lot of really weird mines, I guess you could say, because that's most of the levels. You kind of had open world hub areas, but the levels are basically around jumping into people's brains and fixing or finding out things.
Right. Just like the first Psychonauts.
Correct.
You know, in that regard. And I do love how they made a couple of the jokes where, like, you know how in the first game, anytime that you got a new power of some kind, the Raz would sit on that pedestal and the camera would spin, but it made a joke about that when he got his intern pin or something like that.
Yeah, it started really it, funny. Then it interrupted it, and they're like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. Honestly, I thought that the humor in this game was fantastic. Like,
yeah.
This game was funny. Like, the last game was funny, but this definitely cranked it up a notch.
Yeah, there was a lot of just good stuff in here. I mean, what do you expect from the mind of, you know, Tim Schafer?
Tim Schafer did a really good job with
Studio. Yeah. So, it's great seeing games like this where they're not trying to be serious or do something crazy or follow others. They're out here just making a good sequel to a game they released 16, 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell that they, like, I know that this game had a pretty troubled development, like, to the point where Double Fine almost ran out of funding and had to, like, cancel it.
Yeah.
Like, they almost canceled this game.
If you remember what it was, and this will be an interesting thing to talk about when we start talking about some of the boss battles, is they were running, their runway was, they were kind of coming up to the end of it, right? And they were starting to cut boss battles. Mm-hmm. And then the Microsoft acquisition happened, and they then, you know, where
they got their funding,
probably given a blank check or pretty darn close to it. And they were able to add in the bosses and do some probably extra polishing, probably some extra little things. Right. Heck, there was even a couple little optional missions. Those could be things that were put in due to the fact that, you know, they got the funding from Microsoft bought out by Microsoft. Right. But this was looking a little, iffy there. You know, I think it went dark for a while, if I remember too. Right. I'm sure that was leading up to the acquisition news, but
yeah, I think so too. This, and with that though, we did get, I would say a very polished game. Like, even if they, like, I'm not sure what content they were planning on cutting or if it was going to be in a rough state or something like that, but I mean, honestly, this game felt polished. Like, I didn't run into any, like, bugs or anything like that, hard crashes. The controls felt really, really tight in place. It felt really, really good to play. I loved how thematic every level was.
God, yeah. There was one or two that I just wasn't fancy on their themes, but there's a few of them. And I'm like, this is just, this is so much fun, you know, like,
some of them I felt like I was having a blast playing it. And then, there were like a couple where I was like, okay, this feels like this is kind of dragging.
Yep.
But I mean, I think that's like, I don't know if it's even like a fault of like the level itself, you know, because I've already talked to another person from the community about this a little bit. And what he was telling me is that, like, we had wildly different opinions on each level. Like, some of the levels that I thought were fantastic, he thought sucked, and vice versa. Like, I thought, like, you know, a couple of the different levels I thought dragged out too long, and he was like, oh my god, that was like when I was the most engaged. So I don't know if it's like it was like that the level was bad per se, but yeah, it really just kind of caters to a lot of different styles of what you may like from a game like this.
We'll have to go through some of these levels here in chat and kind of see where we line up. I mean, there was definitely one or two. I think there was one level in particular that just wasn't a huge fan of. But like, even saying that, it's just more of kind of like the little bit of story or the art style they picked for that, the theme for that level, right? It wasn't even like, this is a terrible level, all the mechanics, you know, whatever weird, like actually the one level that wasn't particularly my favorite had one of the cooler things you did in the level. It just wasn't a fan of the theme or the person or the person's brain you go into. So,
So
even if it's like, well, you hated the dentist theme level with Lobato's Labyrinth, the first, you know, the one that you literally drop into the game because you hate dentists, right?
Right.
You know, well, I'm like, well, I don't care. I dentist, whatever, teeth. It's weird. I like it. It's fun. You know, but both of us could be like, well, the mechanics and the puzzles and a little bit of story you get were totally fine. It's just, I don't like the theme.
Right. And so I do think that it's not really a negative on the game. It was just like, it wasn't my favorite point of the game. You know,
exactly.
And I think that it really just shows to how good this game is that like even the stuff I don't really like, I respect that it's there. And I think that it's good that it's there. Mm-hmm. I thought it's definitely served a good purpose for being there, even if it was kind of a low point of the game for me, you know.
And kind of going back to a point you had made a few minutes ago with like this just being a polished game, too.
Yes.
What I really enjoyed, too, was that. Again, it would be interesting to see what was added and what wasn't, what kind of game maybe we would have got a few years earlier if Microsoft hadn't bought them. But there's I think there's a problem that some games have nowadays is this game felt like perfect length and had perfect amount of stuff to do, right? We didn't finish. I don't know about you. We didn't finish everything, right? There's still all the collections and things you can do. There was a couple side missions that you could complete in the I'm going to call them hub worlds. I don't know what they are, but like kind of open area, the larger levels where you can wander around between, you know, jumping into people's brains. Mm-hmm. And I did some of that just kind of, it was kind of that casual go around, try to collect everything, not like hardcore, let me get everything. But you know, when I beat this game, I was like, this was like perfect. Like never once did I feel like I had to complete those optional missions or explore all the hub worlds to collect everything or revisit levels to get, you know, things that I missed because, well, if I didn't, I couldn't move forward and beat the game. I wasn't strong enough or didn't have this or didn't have that.
Right.
So to me, this was like kind of that, you know, there's still a little bit more there for you to do if you didn't do a lot of missions and collections, if you're that type of person, the 100% completionist of the game. But by the end of it, if you're just kind of playing through it, you're going to have a great experience. And, it's just a great time.
Right. It is truly, it does truly feel like a complete package of a game. And to me, that feels so rare to say in recent memory, because a lot of games feel like they're missing stuff or the game doesn't feel very good because it's not finished. I know we talk about, you know, and there's a select few games that we definitely talk about in our Discord that come up quite a bit about games that aren't finished. And we get pretty salty about that. But this felt like a complete package. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, that this this had a lot of side content, but a lot of it wasn't necessary. Like, you don't have to do it, because that was my biggest gripe about the original Psychonauts, is that not only did I dislike the fact that, you know, not only did you have to collect a lot of those arrowheads from the first game, you had to collect enough arrowheads to buy an item to progress through the rest of the story.
Yep.
And it never really alludes that you had to do that. You know, like it had this item in the game and it was like, oh yeah, like you can get this item and you can get these side things in every level. But it never clued you in on having to do that. Well, this game fixes that problem. And I'm really happy that it did, is that you don't have to go and collect a bunch of side collectibles in order to actually just finish the game if you don't want to.
Exactly. And the currency they had this time was called Citanium. It wasn't Citanium. Arrowheads, but to your point, never once, again, it was just like I'd play for a mind or a level, or I'd get to a new hub area, the Mother Lobe or what was it, the Whispering, I had it here, whatever it was, some of the, right, and I get to the other ones and I'll collect a few things and then I'll go back to the auto automatic. Yeah, automatic machines.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe buy some new pins, which
you can get the cards and you can get the...
Yep. Or you can use that Cytanium to upgrade your Psy powers, right?
Yep.
So that, you know, maybe your Psy blast, you kind of a laser shot, you know, branches off, you know, after it hits somebody and then branches to like one or two other people, right? But again, it never felt like every time I was like, oh, yeah, I should go upgrade stuff. I always seemed to have enough to, you know, not buy everything. You know, I didn't level everything up and get all the Psy or the pins by the end of the game. But I kind of, and this kind of goes to that good kind of balancing too, is the fact that I kind of focused on what I wanted to play, but it didn't make the other Psy powers completely useless. And I could, again, still kind of progress. Never once did I go, oh, shoot, I should probably upgrade this Psy power and then go have to grind around and get some more Cytanium to level it up. But it also allows you for that kind of customization to have, you know, maybe, you know, I use these four specific Psy powers all the time and you use a set of four different ones, right? So you kind of have a little bit different experience with the game than I did, you know? So I love that kind of, again, there's enough customization in there to make it a little different,
Absolutely.
But never anything that held you back, you know, never,
right.
I need to go back and I need to level this up.
Yeah. I never felt like, well, let me flip that around a little bit. I never felt like I needed to upgrade any of my abilities. Like, not mm-hmm. upgrading my abilities, I didn't think would ever hold me back. It would just make everything that I wanted to do just a little bit easier for me to approach different encounters. And I love that they added in, you know, a lot of variety to a lot of the battle encounters that they had. So when you were fighting things like, you know, sensors and judgments and doubts, like, kind of all at the same time. And so you had mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, use the different... Psy powers to kind of tackle the encounter as it's thrown at you.
Yeah.
And I love that. And even with the base Psy power, I felt like, well, even if I didn't have this upgrade, it's not like I wouldn't be able to take this encounter on. Mm-hmm. It's just, this makes it way easier.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. To your point, that was one thing I liked about it is they added in some of those new enemies that kind of made you in some of those, and then they mix it up in the encounters, made you kind of jump around, assuming they weren't your like core powers that you liked using, make you jump around different powers. Or for me, like jump around and focus on certain enemy, you know, it's all, you know, a good encounter design, you know, who am I going to take out first? You know, what's my game plan here? So there was a little bit more thought that had to go into some of the encounters. Again, never felt like it was difficult. Never felt like, well, you know, if I had this upgraded, or in all fairness, I could still have beaten them with just the main four powers I usually ran with. It's just, well, it's easier if I switch to this and, you know, freeze them or do the, you know, shoot them from a far away so that they can't get me with X attack, right? It was just also, not to poo-poo too much on last month's game, but it was also it was nice to be able to kind of very quickly hot swap your Psy powers out, right?
Agreed.
And not have to worry about, oh shoot, I only have these, and if I go in here I'm gonna get hit and take a bunch of damage. So it was kind of It was good going from last month's game to this one, and feeling you could try new things out. Because again, early on, I didn't know the best way to beat some of these guys, and it was like, well, I'm just going to use this, and I'm like, well, that's not going anywhere. Let me quick switch to this, and bam, it's like, oh, hey, this is working. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know how to take this guy on.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, you can utilize a lot of the things that the enemies do to your advantage too. Like, say you had, you know, a couple of those guys that would drop bombs, you know, if you kited some of the other enemies around and you would kill mm-hmm. the enemy that dropped bombs, it would drop bomb damage the other enemies that were nearby so that it could like assist you in your own way too.
Yep.
So you could get really creative with how you were tackling these encounters, which was, again, really, really fun. This was mm-hmm. really, really well designed, and each encounter felt good every time that I had to do it. Oh, even up until they had to throw in like, I don't know, I think a couple of the encounters, they threw like three of like the anxiety monster at you at once, at, mm-hmm. you know, at some point. And, you know, that gets really crazy. And I don't remember what that was called, but it was during like the anxiety panic attack. Or yeah, maybe they were panic attacks or something.
Yeah, I think it was panic. Those are the ones that like, they were very colorful because they like were whatever they were. They would jump around real quick, then they'd attack, then he'd be real close to you and you'd try to attack him, but they'd jump away. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Teleport kind of way,
you
or whatever.
Kind of had to use the time stop on him.
Yep.
To, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, once they threw a couple of those at you, those were, depending on who else I was fighting, it was either dodge a bunch and take out the little guys, and then try to focus one-on-one. But yeah, to your point, it was just, it felt good. And it the challenge increased as you went. And it was never once did I feel, I always felt challenged, but never once did once did I feel like it was just,
bullshit. It felt fair. And when I took the damage, I felt like I justifiably took the damage. And I was never, contrary to last month's game, I never felt upset that the game punished me for making a mistake. Whereas, mm-hmm. Last month we were getting punished really hardcore for the most minuscule mistakes kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So this game felt really, really fair. And I think that for most skill levels, this game won't be scary or anything like that, especially if you like going around and collecting things. You can make your big flame ball, you can make that absolutely massive, which is really mm-hmm. fun to use with all the rest of the psi abilities. It was really good.
Yeah, that was good. Also, correction on what I said earlier, the psi titanium wasn't used to upgrade your psi powers. That's actually based on your levels, and you got stars. So each level you went up, I think I got somewhere in the low 80s, high 70s, low 80s. But as you collect, a bunch of the collectibles are back from last time, as you get things like the figments that are all throughout the level. What's the other one here? The Psi Challenge cards and the Psi cores. When you start collecting a lot of those, that's where you get your level upgrades. And those, you get stars and you use those to upgrade your powers.
Yeah,
which was funny because that was the one where I was using the titanium and completely forgot you could upgrade the powers. And I think I had somewhere around 25 stars by the time I realized, I can go upgrade my power. So again, kind of a good point where I was just using the base level psi powers and still doing fine. It definitely got a little bit easier once I had things like the psi blast that chained and my melee attack did more damage and things like that. But it didn't stop me. It just was a little bit tougher.
Right. So let's, we can put that aside for a little bit. I kind of want to go into we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I really want to get into the levels themselves.
Yeah.
What were your, I think how many were there? There was 14, 13. I guess you could say proper levels. Hard to say. I don't know. Hard to say. But the fun thing about a lot of these levels is that they were all themed very, very differently. Even some of them having you do completely different mechanics per level.
Yeah.
Which, and they have, I think most of them had a boss fight at the end of them. And, a lot of the boss fights, just like the regular encounters, felt really fun. Although I think some of the boss fights were a little bit too on the easy side.
Yeah, that was kind of going to be my comment when we got around to talking about bosses is they put them in, and I was glad they were there, but none of them were really hard. Not even the final boss with he already said spoilers, Maligula, right?
Right.
So I wouldn't say they were, they were challenging. You had to do different things. You had to use a lot of different of your psi powers, but never once was I like, this is really hard or punishing.
Right. Yeah, I felt the same way. They weren't super difficult.
I don't think I died on any of them either. Had to restart.
Died?
Yeah, died, like you had to restart the entire counter. I got hit a bunch.
I don't remember.
Lost a lot of health, but.
Yeah.
I counted here, there was 15 levels if you count that. You went into Maligula's mind, right? So the ending would be a level. The whole ending of the game essentially was, a level. So
sure, right. So what were some of your favorites? Because I kind of want to compare to the ones that I really liked.
Let's see if I pick a couple here. I think the first one that was really got me, I'm like, this is fun. The other ones were fun too prior to it, but the Compton's Cook-Off, the Ram It Down game show, yes, was a lot of fun.
That was definitely one of my favorite ones. Yes.
It was a shorter one, but I enjoyed Strike City. That was the one where you go into the bowling alley and you go into Fort Crowley's
mine. Roll the ball around the city.
Yep. And I was like, oh, this is kind of goofy. You're rolling a ball around and it's all about, Ford Kruller, he works at the bowling alley spraying and trying to get rid of the germs in his shoes. And it was kind of almost like an old school, horror or Godzilla end of the world, this big monster thing was destroying the city and getting rid of all the germs, and the germs were people, right? So I thought that was kind of interesting and fun. Where was it? Where's the one where you go into that like weird psychedelic 60s? I'm trying to remember the name of that one. Psy King Sensorium.
Yep.
Psy King Sensorium.
Yep.
That was just kind of goofy. I think that was, if you watched the gameplay videos before the game release, they had a lot of that. But I thought that was a lot of fun, especially the driving around the map part in the bus. And then Jack Black
as Hellmuth.
Dr. What was his name? Yeah. Helmet Fulbear.
Fulbear. So, yep.
Yeah. Pretty sure. Whatever. He was singing. Fulbear. There was a song in there that he, yeah. And probably the last one that kind of got me pretty good was the Fatherland Follies, the whole,
that's where you learn about
Nick. Yeah. The whole, it's a small world. I'm like, but it's all about how was it Grulovia and the whole process of, Maligula coming there and saving the people, and then all the bad stuff, and then the evil psychonauts coming and taking her down. But that whole time going through that ride was just like, you know, I'm just in here. It's like, I mean, it's been forever, but you know, I did the Small World ride back in Disney, whatever the one in Florida is, Land Park. I don't remember which it is, but
sure.
Like, oh, this is so goofy. But
yeah. Okay. But yeah. So the cook-off one was definitely, I think, one of the high point ones for me. Yep. I thought that, like, I loved doing that. I thought that was so much fun. And it was by far, like, one of the funniest parts of the game, too. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely hilarious.
Yep.
And that was when you hop inside of, oh, man, whose mind was that? It was
Compton. What's his first name? Because it's called Compton's Cook-Off. Compton Bull. He was one of the original Psychic Six. So one of the people that started. That was at home. The part of the game where we were trying to put back Ford Crueler's mind, but we had to go into some of the original Psychic Six minds to fix them and get stuff from them. Anyways.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I liked that one. And I did like Hollis's mind as well, where it had that whole like casino theme, and you had to play like the goofy little gambling, like you had to play those goofy gambling games. Oh,
I felt
to,
so dumb in that one.
Ooh. Oh man. I thought that was so fun. And I loved how, like, you had to, the whole mechanic of the game was, you know, taking a person's thoughts and creating positive thought patterns for that. And I thought that that was really, really clever. Like, I thought that was really cool, really clever. I really, really loved that level. I'm sad that they didn't really utilize a lot of that building thought patterns throughout the rest of the game. I was a little bummed about that.
Yeah. But.
You know, what are you going to do?
That was from their new power, by the way, for Psycho. Because they didn't have mental connection in the first game, did they?
Nope.
Yeah, so this was one of the new Psychonauts 2 powers, yeah.
Yep. And then I think, what was one of the other ones that I really liked? I love the Small World one. I thought that was really hilarious. And that was just kind of, I mean, that was just a fun level. But I know that one of the ones that I thought kind of dragged, so... You mentioned you really liked the Fulbear, the Psy King's Sensorium. Wasn't a huge fan of that, mainly because I felt like it just dragged. Like, I felt like it just got really, really long and got slow.
I definitely can see that. I mean, I definitely was sitting here in competition, because some levels are pretty, pretty quick. Like that, was it Ford Frolics? The one where you go into Ford Crueler's mind for the haircut? Like, that was... to me pretty quick, but then you get the Psy King Sensorium, which was pretty long, so it was definitely one of those where like, this is a little long, we could probably speed this up a tiny bit, but
I felt the same way about the librarian one. I felt like that one lasted way longer than it felt like it needed to.
That was the one where I've already alluded to a few times where I was not a huge fan of that character. I don't know, it was just kind of boring. And then that level, I mean, again, that kind of also goes back to my comment, though, of like the level and the game, the design of the level and the things you do were fine. It's just the whole library theme of Cassie's collection, as I think what the level is called for, what's her name? Cassiopeia. So, that, you know, yeah, but I will. That was also where I thought it was really cool, where since it's all library and book themed, a couple of the parts of the level, kind of the unique things, was you were kind of side scrolling on a in a book where you were like jumping page to page, you know, kind of platforming, trying to get to different items. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. But again, yeah, overall that level was just like kind of ready for this one. And it seemed to drag on. Maybe it's just because I wasn't a fan of it. But
yeah. And then the one with the moth, I wasn't a big fan of either.
That was...
I just thought that one was a little bit on the
side. Oh, that was the desert island. That was, I'm looking here.
The bottles one.
Bob's Bottles, yeah.
Yep.
See, I think the thing with that one was, to me, that wasn't a super, super long level.
It wasn't long. I think, meh. Like, I was very apathetic towards it, you know?
No, I agree. I think maybe in my mind why I didn't really care one way or the other was because, it didn't drag on. So it wasn't like... Again, that was kind of where the Cassiopeia's thing was like, this is going on. Why do I have to find all three of her things and then do this to whatever? And I'm like, okay. But
Yeah.
No, I can definitely see that one. Yeah, that moth was kind of dumb, bitch. Stealing the seeds. How quick would that level have been had you just been able to grab those seeds and move on?
Exactly. So, yeah. I think going back to the beginning of the episode, I mean... The levels were all fun in their own way. I just felt like some of them kind of drag. I really did like, I mean, I liked the Cassie's collection up until you had to go to like that Goofy City part, you know, that once I got there, then I was kind of like, okay, this is getting a little long, but it was kind of fun talking to all the little like book characters and just getting their little dialogue options or whatever. Like there was one of them that was like a knight and a dragon. I don't know if you talked to them. That was so funny where they were like, I gotta kill the dragon. He's a scourge upon. And the dragon's just like, hey man, like I'm just trying to get by here. You know, I don't want to do anything to harm anybody. I don't know why he's so upset.
And then Raz is like, can I have your sword? And he's like, no, I got to fight the dragon.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I really liked that. You know, speaking of going into a lot of people's minds, I mean, like most of these levels are all brand new characters, too.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only person that you really get to interact with that was from the original game a lot was Kruller.
Yep.
He had a couple of levels kind of explaining his past, and you get to learn about I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend or something like that, who eventually turns into Maligula. Spoiler. That's a big spoiler right there. Yeah, you learn about Lucy and his connection with Lucy and how they were in love and all that, and
Lucretia.
But he calls her Lucy.
Yeah, he calls her Lucy.
But
I mean, you could even make the argument, I guess, for like the first half of the game, it's your crazy old Kruller from the first game.
Right.
But part of your mission is to put his brain back together and figure out what, because some of the mystery is, okay, it sounds like Maligula's back. Like, how, who is it? What happened? And Kruller's the one that knows. And then, yeah, you find out that he's in love with this Lucy girl. Things happen. She's a Grulovian, which ironically is also what Raz is. Some bad stuff happens. And then, yeah, that's where you kind of start finding out that really the Psychic Six, which I think was, we got introduced to them essentially the first game, kind of more like, remember Raz is excited about, what was this magazine or comic book you read? The Psychic Six.
Like when they Psychic Tales or something like that.
Because he knows like all these people when he meets them. He's like, oh, I remember you from, you know, you're awesome. But yeah, when you're kind of putting Kruller's mind back together, you find out he was in love. You find out that the Psychic Six were actually the Psychic Seven. It's just one of the psychics turned into Maligula. So yeah, it's. But to your point, there are so many new people in here. You met your family kind of before, but you even get to kind of do things with your entire family, you know, in this game a little bit more. You can talk to them, and there's a side mission with Queepy Aquato. Did you do any of that?
I did not. No.
That was a fun one. I did go out of my way to the Queepy is the little Aquato, and I forget how you kickstart, but you chat with them, and then he like runs off. So in the woods there, the questionable area, like campground area, he's just kind of randomly, you'll find him, you'll talk to him. He just wants to dance and listen to music, right? And when you find him, he's like, oh, yeah, whatever, blah, blah. And then jumps away, right? It's really just kind of find him, like, I think it was six times was really the optional mission. But I found that fun, kind of jump around the questionable area finding him. So
it was a good time. Yeah. So I didn't end up doing a whole lot of the side missions. Mainly, I was just playing to get through the story. And so I just, really wanted to play the story. Didn't do a lot of the side stuff.
Yep.
But you, I mean, speaking of Queepy Aquato, I mean, you basically get to learn about the whole rest of Raz's family.
Yep.
You know, we heard a little bit about, I don't remember if we even saw them in the previous game. I know that they're mentioned.
I think they were kind of there as just like, that's your family. I don't think I think you saw a little bit of, what was her name? Were they calling her? Yeah, they were calling Lucretia Mux. Okay. Yep. So, you saw that, and then you saw your dad, right? Because your dad was the final level, because it was all about like confronting your dad and, you know, you wanting to be a psychic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like that. But yeah, we really didn't get much FaceTime with any of the family in the first one.
Right. Yeah. So basically in this game, the whole family comes to visit you at Psychonauts headquarters, and you learn that now your dad and your family has kind of accepted the fact that you're a psychic. And in fact, most of your family are psychics. Mm-hmm. Like, you find out that, you know, I think his dad is, I think his mom is, and I think his sister is as well.
Yeah. I don't think it was everybody. It was a majority of it. Yeah. There was a few on the head.
Right. And most of this, I think, is because you learn that the grandmother of your family is in fact Lucy.
Your dad's aunt.
Or yes.
Because that was the whole weird thing with Crawler when the Psychic Six fought the Seventh, Maligula. It was that whole, what was that weird tool that you had to fix up there in the Forgotten Grove? But they had to kind of basically hide away Maligula in Lucretia's brain, and then they kind of did some tinkering in Raz's dad's brain, who was grieving over the loss of his mother, Lucretia's sister, and they did some tinkering to make it that Lucretia was his mother, your grandmother, and yeah, it was to hide, you know, Maligula and hope that she just, nothing would happen, right? She wouldn't figure out who she is and cause more pain and trouble, you know, like before.
Mm-hmm.
That was Ford Cooler's plan because he didn't want to kill her or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Which again, too, was, if I remember, was why he kind of did stuff to shatter his brain so he couldn't remember and people couldn't track and find Maligula again.
Right. Exactly. So he kind of just stuffed it away in her mind and changed her, basically warped her mind, and he feels, you know, super terrible about it. And that's kind of what you learn while you progress through the game, that's after that whole battle with Maligula, it basically just broke Crawler.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, I mean, overall, I mean, I think that this game was just fantastic. You know, it was about 12 hours, you would say?
12, yeah, I mean, I'm a little slower. And again, I didn't go crazy on the side quests, but I probably spent a little time kind of jumping around and collecting a few more of the cards and the Psychors, maybe than you did. I don't know. I don't know how much of that you did. Do you remember kind of what level you were at by the end?
30-something.
Really?
I think it was like 30-something.
Well, here, let's talk about this. Did you just not really do a lot of the figments?
Not really. Like, I collected some as I was going, if they were pretty inconvenient places, but I don't think I really went out of my way to go get some. Like, so if they were in a far-off spot, yeah, I didn't even bother.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't scour the map to get everything in every level, but if I saw something, I tried to get it, so that probably helped me get a bunch of levels.
Yeah.
Since that's a good way to get them. But also, since we're talking figments, I already mentioned it was kind of iffy on the boss battles, but really the figments were probably my biggest complaint. I kind of felt like that was an old mechanic carried over from the first game, which I like the idea because they're all like, they're a reference to either the level or the story of the person's brain. Kind of, I never really paid attention to each of them, but they had something to do with that person or level, and you collected them. But I look back at my notes from Psychonauts 1 and it was the same complaint, is they're all 2D. Where sometimes some of them are kind of floating and moving around and you have to time it. And since they're 2D, there's a small chance you might not kind of cross into the collision box to collect it. And I found that frustrating since I did go out of my way to try to collect the a few of them. So my complaint from the first game is the same for the second one.
Right.
But okay. Yeah. So yeah, I probably spent a few more hours then since I collected a bunch of figments and explored a little bit more of the hub areas.
Okay. So, I mean, like, you know, playing through the regular campaign or the, like the regular storyline of it and not going too far out of your way. I think, yeah, for me, it was like around the 12-ish hour area. Mm-hmm. So pretty long considering most of our book club games have been fairly short.
Yep.
Usually under 10 hours or so. So yeah, this was a very, very good, solid game, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a nice, God, I don't mean to keep crapping on because we had positives about it, but this was a nice like switch from last month to this month.
Like, sure. Yes.
We're having fun again.
Hey, at least we tried it. That's the whole point of the book club is, you know, we kind of try some things and see how we like it. Sometimes we hit, sometimes we definitely don't.
Yeah. And there were good things about that game. So I don't know why we keep dancing around the topic of the name of the game.
Just Tunic. Yeah.
We
played Tunic last month. Yeah. And we had very mixed feelings about it. Be sure to check it out. Check out the episode. You can get all of our feelings about it.
Yep. That game that shall not be named until now.
Right. But until we just named it.
Yep.
All right. Overall, the voice acting I thought was phenomenal in this game. Like, wow, did they do a good job with that too. Like, the dialogue was great. It didn't feel like cringy or it didn't seem really off or anything like that. And the acting for it was really, really good. Like when the comedy moments were there, they did an amazing job. When the more emotional moments were there, they did a really, really good job. So I think, props to them and the audio department, because the soundtrack was also really, really sick too. Like they really nailed that sort of 60s spy thriller sort of vibe to it.
Trying to think, I'd have to probably get a list of the games we've done for book club, but I do know for a fact that I think most of the games we pick, the things we have in common are the art style, whatever it is for that game, was really good, and the soundtrack. So I think we're just really good at picking games that have good soundtracks, because the soundtrack in this was really good. And to your point, like too, with like the character design and the writing, is nothing felt cringy, nothing felt crazy over the top, each characters were unique. Obviously, some of that's the art style because some of them look freaking weird. God, which one of those interns? Wait, let's see if I can. I don't remember. Was it Norma, the weird one that came in on the whale when you're fighting Maligula? She was creepy looking. I don't know why, but yeah, everybody. The character design, the writing, voice acting was good, and just very enjoyable characters and soundtrack all the way through.
I think so too. Is there anything else that we need to cover about this? That's, I mean, we kind of talked about the story. The ending was pretty good. It kind of left it on a pretty solid note. I mean, you end up defeating Maligula. It kind of returns your grandma your great aunt, because you find out that Lucy had killed her sister because she was trying to protect Grelovia, and she was kind of working on behalf of the. Well, it was Nick the mailman, but it was not Nick, it was, remember, what was his name?
I have it here. Oh, what was Nick? Gristle Malik.
Okay.
Nick, a.k.a. Crystal. He was Nick to the Psychonauts because,
mailman.
I'd say there's not a ton more to talk about. What we should probably throw out a few more key points to the story was, the whole time you're trying to figure out who the mole is. This whole stuff, obviously, we've mentioned multiple times, Maligula's real, and she was kind of stuffed deep inside Lucretia. But this Nick guy, this mailroom guy, when you first come across him, you were supposed to be his intern. And when you meet him, his brain's gone. You're like, what's going on? Where's his brain? And through the story, you end up putting a brain into his head, which happens to be Fulbert's, if I remember correctly. Right. So that's kind of where you lead into that the 60s psychic level, right? Psychedelic level, I should say, right? And but you find out that the mole is actually Truman Zanotto, right? Who people think are sick. Lily's like, oh, my dad's sick, right? Blah, blah, blah. And you talk to him. He says he's on a mission to put Crawler back together. The whole reason for that is Nick ended up putting his brain into Truman's and then hiding Truman's brain. And this was a ploy for Nick, who was escaped royalty from Krilovia, that wanted to regain his kingdom. this was his crazy way to kind of undermine and get rid of the Psychonauts and find Maligula again. So he wanted you to put Ford Kohler's brain back together so they could find, Maligula. And yeah, so that was kind of the mole there was Truman. That was a long answer, long explanation. Hey, I think I'm under 5 minutes, so no, not a crazy Gears of War story.
Well, thank you for covering
synopsis. But no, I was sitting here, I was like, yeah, we never mentioned who the mole was. But yeah, no, I mean, that kind of speaks to the writing too. Like, I wouldn't say I ever saw like any of this coming. Now, it wasn't like a, like my jaw hit the floor when it happened. So it wasn't like one of those like big reveals, but it was like, oh snap, you know? And then like, same thing with the Lucretia. Like, yeah, I think you kind of got hints at that through one of Ford Kohler's brain whenever he starts talking about a Lucy and you're like, I don't know about this. So,
right.
Yeah, I thought the writing was really well and kind of kept that mysterious spy, you know, who's the mole, is Maligula or live kind of writing was done very well.
Did you predict who was the actual mole?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Did you?
I had suspicions just because I was like, well, this seems really convenient that he's kind of just out of commission this entire time. And that he decides to pretend that he isn't out of commission to try and snuff out the mole. I was like, that seems really suspicious. You know, like, I think it might be Zanato, but I didn't suspect that it was somebody else's brain in Zanato instead. I didn't put that clue together that like, oh, yeah, you just stuff somebody else's in there and then they can be that person. You know, like, even though you do that to Nick, I didn't put that together to be like, oh, so the bad guy might be somebody else's brain. But I did suspect that it was Zanato.
Gotcha. Much smarter man than I, so.
I don't know about that. I think that was kind of predictable.
One thing, since we're talking about brains and stuff here and putting in brains in different people's bodies, one thing I thought was really cool, and this was kind of a callback to the early kind of kickstarting, literally Kickstarter for this game. You know, we mentioned obviously Microsoft kind of came in and I'm not going to say saved it because we would have got a game, but the game we got is very well polished, as we said. I think part of that is due to Double Fine getting purchased, but this game started off as a Kickstarter because the fans, the people who played Psychonauts and for like 14, 15 years were like, we want another. So they finally, Double Fine did a Kickstart, and I don't remember all the stuff, but I was sitting there. Did you notice that I forget the brain machine thing, whatever it was, where you went to get that brain for Nick, that you could actually scroll through thousands of brains there with different like names on it. And what that actually is all the people that kickstarted the game. And I thought that was just kind of a cool way to put that in. I forget how that, who was that guy over there that was kind of the scientist? Was that Otto Mentalis, wasn't it? I think over there.
Yes, it was Otto.
But I don't remember how it went, but I remember he kind of commented about all these brains that we don't know what to do with, you know, and just thousands of brains in this crazy machine. But I thought that was kind of a cool little addition. I don't know, as someone who didn't really pay attention to the Kickstarter, maybe they knew that this is how they were going to be putting the game. But, you know, I didn't know any of that. So when I stumbled across it and put two and two together, I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
They're in the game as a brain.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that this game had gotten kickstarted at some point or had like a crowdfunding.
Yeah, nobody wanted to fund it, like as far as like publishers. So that's unfortunately was... Because if you think that after 2005 there into the mid-20-teens is like, nobody's funding these, you know, think of EA, you know, they're not funding single player games. Nobody plays those anymore. Right. So,
right.
And this was kind of a more of a cult classic, not a, you know, smash hit, you know, when it came out. So I'm sure that Tim Schafer and Double Fine had a little bit of trouble securing funding to do another one. So, I mean, that's a great thing. A good success story about Kickstarter. Rare, but I mean, this was a good success story for it. So,
yeah, and it turned out to be a fantastic game.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's all that we have. Unless you got anything else that you want to talk about, I think we've gassed on about this game quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
definitely getting high praises from the campfire crowd tonight.
Yeah, it's complete opposite of that game
of last month. Yeah. To be fair, we didn't hate it. It's just there was a lot of things that we didn't like about it.
And to be fair, I do like that we kind of spent a good chunk of the episode, for those that listened and those that will be listening, we do actually spend some time saying, hey, this is how mechanically we would have changed it, made it a little better and, you know, more fun. So
we did give good feedback, I think. Yeah. At least I would call it good feedback.
I think so too. So,
but I don't have a whole lot of feedback from this game other than, I mean, yeah, like some of the levels may have felt a little bit too long. Like there's, you know, they probably could have been sliced down, pared down a little bit. Overall, though, I don't think that there was anything in this game that would really make me go like, okay, I have one nitpicky thing that I can add for, you know, like a maybe like negative.
I have a minor thing, too, that on top, again, the figments thing, but that was, I already mentioned that.
Right. The one nitpicky thing that I had is that some of the places to get health back required either multiple hits or they had physics on them. And that made me so mad anytime that I was trying to get health back and I would like shoot like a canister or something like that with my psi beam and then to try and run over and go grab the health. And it would just shoot the thing off the edge of wherever I was standing. It would just shoot it off the platform and I was completely screwed out of getting health.
Yeah. That's the only thing. Yeah. There was very rare. You remind me, like, I wouldn't say it really, it just sucked. Wasn't a big, obviously I didn't make a note about it that I hated it, but yeah, to your point, I do remember there's a few times where it's like, okay, there's a health, whatever. They were a little different every level, right? Let me go smash it or shoot it. And then if you're on platforms, it would just like fall off if it just kind of happened to explode in the wrong direction, you know?
Yeah.
My little, I'm a nitpick here. I got a real nitpick. And to be fair, actually this will lead into a comment there for the pins. There is a pin to changes. Apparently I just didn't spend the Psytanium to get it. Was the projection. I hated the projection that Psy power.
Oh,
where you get a little mini me.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so
little.
Yeah. You use him very little, but he was so freaking annoying, but you do have, that was kind of, here's a suggestion. Here's a kind of a, hopefully in Psychonauts 3 is some of the pins were, I'm not going to say cosmetic, but most of the pins were used to improve or kind of add something to a lot of your psi powers. A few of them were like, change the color of your ball. Well, maybe I want to do that, but since you only have 3 slots to do it, it's, well, do I change the color of my ball to blue instead of red? Or do I put something in there that's going to benefit my melee or my psi blast or some, you know, my mental connection or so, you're right. So to me, it was like, I want to do some of these kind of, you know, quote unquote cosmetic things, but I don't want to use a slot where I could use that for another pin that makes one of my attacks or something better. Right. So maybe in Psychonauts 3, they have like, I don't know, they could still call them pins or maybe come up with a different name, but like separate them so that you can equip some more of the kind of more cosmetic things and not have to worry about using a slot that would improve one of your side powers.
Gotcha.
Again, minor thing. I don't care. I just rolled around with the red ball instead of the blue ones. So it's like, well, I have that pin there. Why can't I change it? So,
yeah. I had the blue one.
The whole time?
No, not the whole time.
I was going to say some of those pins came in handy. So good test.
Yep. Other than that, I think that's good. The game is really good. You should go buy it. Buy it if you don't have it. If you got Game Pass,
there you go.
Game Pass, go play it right now.
Come on, it's a Campfire Gaming Podcast.
We gotta mention the Game Pass.
Gotta go get Game Pass.
Yes.
But if you're lame, then go buy the game.
Yes. So I think it's safe to finally announce what we will be doing for October then. Unfortunately, I don't think this game is on Game Pass. So if you got Game Pass, that's, you know,
I think it was given away at one point on Xbox Games for Gold. I know it was also given away on PlayStation at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yeah, you may or may not have it.
You may or may not have it. But we, continuing with tradition of our spooky October games, it has sort of been at least a 2-year running tradition now that we play a Resident Evil game for October. This time around, we will be doing something a little bit different. We will be going back to the beginning of Resident Evil, and we will be playing the Resident Evil 1 remaster. That is our game. That is the plan for the October game book club. So for our spooky themed game, we will be doing going back to where it all started for Resident Evil, to the very beginning, to the Spencer Mansion and all that good stuff. so we can finally get Matt on the path to playing the original trilogy like he's supposed to.
Yep. I like how for years in the podcast, I'm like, I have not played the other ones. Now we've had all these remasters and remakes for 1, 2, and 3. And I also like how, yeah, October's our spooky game month, but it's also turning into it. Resident Evil is a spooky game, and Matt hasn't played this Resident Evil yet, so we're picking that and make him play it. So I love it. I'm excited to, again, if you're a longtime listener, you know this is one of those series where I've been dragging my feet on playing the other games, and the last two book clubs have made me play, was it Biohazard, right? Resident Evil Biohazard, and then Resident Evil Village, right?
Correct.
Yep. Which were both great. So we were, it was funny, we were talking about doing the DLC for Village, but unfortunately that comes out on, October 28th. So
yeah, that's at the very end of the month. So we can't unfortunately do it.
Yeah, that would have followed Ethan Winter's daughter. I forget her name right now, but yeah.
Mia, I think. No, not Mia.
That was his wife.
Yeah.
What was his daughter's name?
Anyways. I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know. Maybe next October. I hope
next
not.
October.
Next October we know is going to be Resident Evil 2.
So. Probably. You should play it before then, but you know.
Yeah.
We can hope.
Yep.
Anyway, so that about wraps it up for the day. Yeah, come and play Resident Evil Remaster with us. Tell us what you think about Psychonauts 2. You can tweet at us at CampGamePod. You can visit our Discord, which you can find a link to at our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. If you're interested in more of the book clubs, you can find a whole history of book club episodes on our website as well.
A lot of really good ones.
We've had a lot of really good book clubs over the last, what have we been doing this, like 2 years now?
We haven't picked many stinkers. I'll say,
there have been a lot of W's.
Yeah, more W's than
L's. Yes. Yep. Yeah. And with that said, thank you very much for sticking with us this far. We really appreciate all the support that you've been giving us for the years that we've been doing this this book club. And we hope to see you next time around the campfire.